Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're listening. Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Amit Mann. Joining me today, Katie Heindel. Hello, Katie. How we
Hello.
Doing? How are things?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm admiring your, is it a sweatshirt?
Long sleeve? It is. Yes, it
very,
is.
Looks very like it looks very clean, but also very comfortable.
You know what? Fun fact. I haven't worn this since pre-pandemic. This is my first time putting it on.
Wow.
I know. There's a bunch of clothes where I'm just like, oh, I was looking at my closet before this. I'm like, what should I wear? I feel like I've just worn all these things. People are going to be saying, did I just see you in that? I'm like, I got to avoid that kind of talk. So I'm like, let's just find something. I'm like, oh, this black sweater that's like way on like the east side of the closet. Not that it's that big, but it was far away. And it's kind of, you know, messy in there. So
does it feel light and free of all the pandemic?
You know, actually, it kind of does. It feels like it hasn't been worn in 2 years in a good way. Mm-hmm. It feels like very fresh and clean, although outside is nothing like that. But hey, I mean, we're approaching the better days in Toronto. And as we've said on this podcast and other people have said this too, Toronto summers are undefeated and we're getting there. We're so close.
We are.
Yeah. And we're also close to the playoffs for the Toronto Raptors. There's only 10. See that segue?
That was excellent. Like, yeah. That's like podcasting gold.
Whew. Boy, I've come a long way since October. Yes, there are 10 games remaining in the Raptors regular season. And so with Katie, we're going to go through 10-ish thoughts, concerns, queries, all that kind of stuff before we head into the postseason. And I would say, I mean, I told Katie we're going to talk about Armoni Brooks first, but actually we should probably talk about where the Raptors are going to end up in the Eastern Conference, because they could end up anywhere from 5th to 6th to 7th to 8th, depending on how the schedule breaks down. Katie, what are your thoughts? I have some like, you know, schedule-y things here, but just your opening thoughts on where the Raptors are and how you feel like these next 10 games are going to go. And, you know, if they're going to be able to scratch into that top six.
I think they're in a good place. I think they're probably in a better place than certainly you or I, maybe many of us imagine them to be, you know, at this point of the season. I did go ahead and take a look at the schedules of the Raptors, the Cavs and the Bulls, just like who they're sort of hanging around with. And everyone seems to have difficult schedules to close out the season, of course. So, you know, there's like a couple tough games scattered in here and there. There's a couple theoretically easy games scattered in here and there. So I think, you know, it's not like they have an advantage over those teams. I mean, I guess health, they have, touching wood, they have health as an advantage currently, especially over a team like the Cavs.
I mean, sort of, but yeah.
Yeah, sort of, you know, like
Jeez,
we'll take what we can get. All that to say that it kind of feels just like it's up in the air, which is good because it means, you know, if they go ahead and play the way they've been playing, I think these past couple of weeks to close out the season, they could end up at 5th, you know, they could end up like with a much higher spot than they, well, not much higher, a couple spots higher than they have now.
Yeah.
But I also can't really see them sliding, you know, like they just seem to be wanting to finish strong and close out the season strong. And as I mentioned, you know, a couple of those other teams that have taken a dip in the standings, the Raptors can sort of sneak in and take advantage of that. But yeah, the schedule itself, I mean, the Celtics, you know, you got Celtics, Cavs could be an interesting game. You got the Sixers again. There's like a couple tough games in there. I feel like that Pacers game is weirdly going to be difficult for no reason, but you know, there are some where you're like, I just have a feeling this game will be annoying to watch and for them to play.
O'Shea Brissett revenge game. That's what I'm looking at that game as. It's a tricky one, right? Because like you said, the schedules are, they're pretty similar between these three teams, and the Bulls and Cavs are actually going to play later on this week. But the Bulls, I mean, I think this has been going around for a little bit that they're 0-16 against the top three teams in each conference. A crazy stat. Like, how does that even happen? And I was on the side of, you know, they're unhealthy, let them get healthy. But now I'm just like, this is just a little bit too much losing. And people were saying after last night's, you know, blunder against the Bucks, like, oh, they were on a back-to-back and they're traveling. I'm like, bro, like, they were going an hour and a half. Like, that's from Toronto to my hometown of Peterborough. It's not that far. Granted, they played the Raptors, right? And that was, you know, probably a tough game. But this is, you know, the juncture of the NBA season. Like, you got to kind of figure this out. And they're in danger of, you know, ending up in that play-in spot after, at one point, leading the Eastern Conference, which is crazy. But you look at their schedule, they're on a five-game road trip right now, and then it's followed up by a five-game homestand. Sounds good, right? Except you play the Heat, Bucks, and Celtics, and also the Clippers, who may be, you know, getting a little bit healthier at that point. Paul George, Norm Powell, who knows? Anyways, like, they're a tough team, and they're certainly going to battle, at least. And then for the Cavaliers, they got the Magic twice, second last game of the season. They got the Brooklyn Nets, who are probably going to still be, you know, at least competing at that point. And then five of their last six games are on the road. The Raptors, two more road games. So that's awesome, right? You got the Magic. Gosh, who knows what's going to happen with the Orlando Magic. And then there are the New York Knicks on the final game of the season. But outside of that, they are all at home, which is exciting, except the Raptors haven't been playing well at home recently. They've been losing to the Pistons and the Magic. It's a really crazy thing. Like, I talked about the Bulls, you know, being 0-16 against the top three seeds in the Eastern or in the conferences, but the Raptors are 10-5. I don't get it, right? One of the things that have been so consistent about the Raptors over the years is that they at least took care of business against bad teams. They always beat them. And then against, you know, the upper echelon teams, they would go 500 or something like that. All of a sudden, boom, you're at 50 games. This team is like doing like the opposite. It's very annoying, but I guess there is never a dull day with this this group. And at the very least, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of headaches, but hey, that's what we signed up for with these Toronto Raptors. Only one more back-to-back though. That's cool.
Yeah.
April 7th, April 8th. That's nice.
Yeah. I think they maybe just enjoyed getting out of, you know, like they did so well on that West Coast road trip. Maybe they just wanted to get out of, everybody likes to go on a little mental break, not really a vacation for them, but you know, you're seeing the same teams over and over and over in the East. It might be nice to switch it up. But I will say that it's that annoying habit. The Raptors, this team I've noticed has also been kind of leaning into this tendency of playing to their opponent. Right? Oh. Like not necessarily playing to outplay, but just playing to the ability of them. I think it got them in trouble in that Bulls game just because they got so far behind in the third, you know, like Chicago just pounced on them in terms of like, I think all their just like transition, like really quick transitions, turnover, like just taking advantage of turnovers completely, looking way more complete. I mean, their shooting didn't hurt Chicago, hurt the Raptors, but you know, they just, you get into these slumps where you lag and then it's a game of catch up for the rest of the fourth. So
yeah,
I don't necessarily even think that's an energy thing. You know, we're talking about back-to-backs, but I think theoretically the Raptors should have energy to spare. They're a young team now. So it's a long season. That said, I do feel like this last stretch might be full of surprises.
Oh, what a cliffhanger. Let's end the podcast right there. Find out next time on. Yeah, I'm hoping that it's not like that. Personally, I want it to be, you know, straightforward and simple, and they take care of business against the Atlanta Hawks and the Magic and the Knicks and yada yada yada. You know, you do your job, but one would think that it's not going to be like that. And I guess this is a good pivot to the injury situation. You alluded to it. You know, the Jared Allen, and the Cavaliers seems like he's not going to be back until at least the playoffs, and the Raptors. You know, you think of OG Anunoby, Malachi Flynn, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr. now, who is kind of on this injured list, who missed the last game. Today, Nick Nurse did give a bit of an update in the sense that he said OG Anunoby was practicing, but that doesn't mean that he's going to play. But historically, take this for what it is, that when a player does practice, he usually does play the next game, even though Nick said he wouldn't. But also, Nick is known to lie. And then Malachi Flynn... he wasn't in a jersey today, but it seems like he's going to be getting closer and closer. There was nothing about Fred VanVleet, actually. It's just more so about, you know, what he said yesterday, essentially, or after the last game, where he said, you know, I think I can do my job, and it's certainly hard. This is not the situation I want to be in, but it is what it is. Like, that sounds great. Actually, last time you and I talked, we're like, oh, let's see how Fred does against San Antonio Spurs. And he looked great against the Spurs. He had like this jump in his step and everything was like, okay, so I guess Fred figured it out. But now fast forward, here we are, he's missed games. He looks like, you know, 50% of himself. And he's saying that, hey, I can still do my job. I'm like, but then what is your job? Because your job is to still get in the paint and, you know, create attention and be a leader on the defensive end and to, yeah, just, you know, produce open looks for his teammates. And I'm not sure how much he can really do that with this current version of himself. And, you know, that, that last game against the Bulls, he shot 3 of 12 from three. And overall, I mean, Fred, he shot 27% from three since the All-Star break, and he's shooting 35% overall since the All-Star break. So obviously not numbers that he's usually like. And the Bulls game, yeah, it kind of got away from them. And it was probably in that third quarter where, you know what, Fred had a lot of open looks in the rhythm of the offense. And it seems like the Bulls made a decision, like, we're not going to let Scottie and Pascal kill us. I'm going to make Precious Achiuwa and this 50% version of Fred VanVleet do it. And they didn't do it. And I think that's going to be something we're going to continue to see, especially if, you know, Malachi and Gary Trent Jr. and all these three-point shooters, their best three-point shooters, aren't really around. So I guess, where are you with the injury situation? It's not really a question, but how do you feel about that? How do you feel? I'm your therapist now. How do you feel?
I don't feel great. I mean, I don't think anyone should. It's not great when anybody's hurt or playing hurt or feeling like they have to play through an injury. But I think what stuck out to me again in that Chicago game with Fred was, well, he did, yeah, like a lot of the responsibility for shooting and making shots did fall on him because of what the team was doing to Pascal. And Scottie, he looked a little bit frantic in the sense where not his gameplay, but just that he was like the lone guy out there, right? Like he had to organize the floor, but he also had to be the primary scorer. That's tough. Like he's used to really like a give and go game, pretty much like certainly with Pascal and Scottie by now, but like with the whole team, that's kind of the way that they're constructed. So he just sort of seemed, he cut a solitary figure, I would say, especially in like the third and the fourth, he seemed pretty lonely out there. And I didn't like to see that. It's not a way that you're really used to seeing Fred VanVleet play. So I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of gameplay is catching up with him. You get much more tired, you know, playing that way. So it sucks. The injuries suck. I don't feel good about it. That's good news about Malachi. We'll see. I mean, the thing with Malachi Flynn is there was like a small slice of time where he was a great backup option. And he, you know, we've talked about this. He showed up. It looked like he was ready. He stayed ready, but I'm still I'd be more comfortable if he was a backup option, if this wasn't because like we need Malachi because Fred's playing a little bit of a deficit, you know, for some reason right now. OG, I feel like a broken record in the worst way with OG because he's never had a healthy season, and not to like, none of that is ever his own fault. Just not to say injuries things, are ever people's fault, but yeah, it's just like, there's been a real mix of things that have befallen him kind of every season of his NBA career, this season being no exception. So, that one, like personally upsets me the most. But I will say the Raptors have gotten pretty good at being able to juggle that, you know, through like what they're doing with the roster. I want to give a shout out to my guy, Yuta Watanabe, who actually looked fantastic, I'd say, closing out that Bulls game. You know, he was cutting through traffic. Like he didn't have a lot of opportunities, but I think he made the most of them. Nick, get Yuta back out there.
Is Takeshi beside you? What's going on? Why are you saying that? I'm kidding, Takeshi. You're terrific. And actually, Takeshi was asking questions to Armani Brooks, and everyone on the call was thinking, "Oh, is he going to ask Armani Brooks about Yuta Watanabe?" But he didn't. He actually asked Armani some questions about. He should have. That would have been a great move, actually. Right? Stick to the brand. But anyways, I'm not going to get on Takeshi. He's been great all season.
Yuta did look good. He looked good.
No, he did. He did for sure. He did. I'm not sure if. It seems like the time has kind of passed for Yuta, especially now that the player that we're going to talk about in a second, that Armani Brooks is here. You don't think so? I'm not saying I'm not saying that it has for him. I'm saying in the eyes of the Raptors organization that the time has sort of passed just based off how they're handling the rotations.
They trick us. They've made us think the time has passed for, I think, a lot of players who then have come back around. And it's like, just kidding. They're going to be a main part of our, you know, like of this lineup going forward. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Bit of a mind, you know what, for a lot of players, I would say. Nick said that, or Armani Brooks said that Nick told him that you better be ready because you might play a second or you might end up starting a game around here. It's just the way it is. And for him, who's on these 10-day deals, like, okay, so there's already enough pressure associated with that. Now you're adding that I may play and also I may start. I don't know. You're going to have to find out. But at the same time, you're going to be evaluating me and looking at me like a hawk at the whole time when I'm on the court.
Psychological torture. Yeah.
Holy. I mean, if you can handle that, then why can't he be a Toronto Raptor, right? I guess that's the reality of this. Armani's been good. And I think a lot of fans have been encouraged by what he's done on the court. And I don't even think we've seen the best version of him yet because in Houston, I mean, he was shooting 38% on threes last season at seven attempts per game. Very impressive. And even more impressive than that is that, like, he's hitting shots from 25 to 27 feet. His range goes well beyond the 3-point line. And that's where he posts up. That's where his catch and shoot percent or position is. It's behind the 3-point line. So that's something like that. To me, it makes me think that, you know, he's going to be more open in a lot of cases. Those passing angles are going to be a lot easier to find him because he's that comfortable that far away from the 3-point line. And then defensively, I mean, he's been a pleasant surprise. He seems like a really smart player and he's got quicker feet than I thought. 6'9" wingspan, right? 6'3", but 6'9" right wingspan. Yeah, exactly. Right, like a glove. Yeah. Do you think the Raptors should keep Armani, I guess, for this season and also going forward? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like there's no reason not to, especially toward the end of the season, especially because we're talking about roster deficits, you know, and trying to split up minutes to not overextend anybody. It makes a lot of sense. What I will say about his shooting in Houston, to like apt point, 100%, but no one was defending anyone on that Houston roster most games. That's just true. So he had a lot of room and he had a lot of space. But yeah, like he's at an advantage if he can keep that up and shoot from that far out. I don't think it will keep up for long. The Raptors are just, you know, they are a competitive team and their opponents will clamp down on that a little bit quicker, I think, than Brooks found in Houston. But I think like it really presents, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? Like if at this point, if he's fitting in, if he's making some shots, if he's being psychologically manipulated, then why not just extend that 10-day out, you know, to see like to the end of the season and then see what everybody looks like going into the postseason, see where you're sitting and see what seems realistic.
Yeah. In the end, like you said, it's about need. And right now they just need 3-point shooting because a lot of the 3-point shooters are either laboring or injured or something like that. So he gives that ability. And I've been impressed by his ability just to come in and hit shots. Like you said, I mean, he's not going to be getting probably 7 attempts a game with the Toronto Raptors, but him being able to, you know, pop in late in the fourth quarter, like he has done already, hit a couple of deep threes late in the game. It's a pretty impressive quality that he has. And even with the Houston Rockets, at least in 2020, like he's playing around 10-15 minutes a game. So he hasn't really been able to find any kind of rhythm throughout this, this part of the year, certainly, you know, before in 2021, but this year, not so much. So I think he's kind of trying to find himself as well. And he alluded to this the other day that, you know, the time with practicing with the Raptors is where he kind of does most of his learning. And so there's still a lot of loops for him to go through. And we know how many loops there are when you're trying to learn the Raptor system. It's classes in session every practice, and you have homework and exams, and the exams are actually how you perform on the court. And for him, it's going to decide if he's going to get another 10-day deal or if they're going to end up signing him outright. I'm not entirely clear on how that works. I think he's eligible for at least one more 10-day, or it could be like a COVID emergency kind of thing. But anyways, at some point they got to decide if they're going to sign him for the rest of the season. And if he's able to, you know, provide a need, and he's blossoming, it seems like he's going to blossom into a pretty good shooter at age 23. He's already got disabilities. Like, you just got to get his stroke a little bit faster. And the Raptors love helping players with their jump shots. Give him a program, he's going to make things happen, I think. So I would love to see him stick around. I mean, you can't have too many talented players on your team, and it's going to help clear things up for next season because they got a lot of decisions to make with, like, you know, Svi, Yuta, like you mentioned, Chris Boucher. They got to make some calls on if they want to bring these guys back or tell them thank you for your service and we'll talk to you next time. And why not put him in the fold and just see what how things go?
Tough conversations en route.
Who makes those conversations? It's probably Masai, right? He's not opposed to it.
But yeah. I think I'm trying to think if he would like it would come down the ladder. Whoever's like telling them Masai, they're going to get a call from Masai.
Yeah. Yeah. They would have to, right?
Yeah. To just soften the bullet.
Does he soften the bullet? I guess he would. He does have I think Bobby would probably be the softest voice talking to you. Nick Nurse would just be like, listen, man, like this is how things kind of go sometimes. Yeah. It is what it is.
With Bobby, it strikes me as like he'd tell you and then it wouldn't really sink in until it'd be like he'd be walking away and you'd be like, yeah. And then you'd be like, wait a second, I just got fired. You know, like it would take a minute to sink in.
So yeah, man. So I think our time is up, but you were awesome with us.
Yeah.
You were so good. Like, I can't believe that game you had against the Denver Nuggets. You hit that shot. You were so good, but take it easy.
That's Masai. I think that's more Masai. Bobby's like kind of straight face.
Yeah.
Just like kill you with sort of politeness.
Slick back his hair.
Yeah. Be like, you know, thanks for everything. And we'll keep in touch. And you're like, okay, yeah, we'll be in touch.
I don't have your number.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, speaking of tough breaks, right? Ken Birch, do you think he's going to be able to avoid another fluke injury? He's got an eye thing, he's had a nose thing a couple of times. I feel bad for him. He's probably the player that I mean there's a few players on the Raptors that we could say that he has had a lot of tough luck this year. Ken Birch certainly has had a lot of tough luck this season. Holy smokes.
Just like wrong place, wrong time, really really fluke injuries. Yeah. Maybe he could start wearing the mask full time. I know guys don't really like wearing the mask, but if he's like posting up in the dunker spot a lot and he's around there and that's where he's catching like straight elbows or I don't know, outright like palms to the face, then I feel like it's worth safeguarding your face, Ken. I hope that's the end, right? Like three like freak fluke accidents in one season is already too many. Considering most guys, like if they're going to get one, they get one. Yeah. Bad luck for Kim.
Maybe he's going to wear a hazmat suit. Right. That was something the players were entertaining jokingly during the bubble. So maybe he's a person who's like, you know what, I'm actually going to do this. And your job, it could probably actually make him a bit of a better defender down low. If you got to go out, get to Joel Embiid or something like that. Makes him a little bit thicker. Right. Joel loses the ball because it hits the edge of the hazmat suit. Who knows? Right? Maybe it works out. I feel like it's kind of strange that some people seemingly have been reaching out to Kem and ridiculing him. I guess that's the nature of social media, right? There's no
who filter. Has. I missed that. Give me that. Doing that.
No, he talked about that. Yeah, during his last availability, he was actually he did a post game and he said that it seems like since I've moved to Canada and became a Raptor, that there are a lot of people who want to see me fail. And I was like, my goodness, man,
brutal.
Brutal. Like people really do suck.
Honestly. People do. Yeah. A lot of people do. I think, which is always a surprise to me as like someone who tries to give people the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Maybe to like my own detriment, but I think with Cam, it's just like, how can you judge what you're seeing when you haven't actually seen him at full capacity yet because of all these freak things that have befallen him? You know what I mean? Yeah. Also like, he had COVID when he first signed to the team and he missed training camp, you know, like there was all this, like he did not come into it being a Raptor, like as cleanly as probably he wanted. Certainly Raptors fans wanted, probably the team wanted. Yeah. But that's like, that's very hurtful to hear. And I hope people recant on that because nobody needs that.
No, not at all. Yeah. Right. Canadian boy, why are we doing this to our Canadians? It doesn't help that Presh Tachua has now, you know, been given the nickname Presh Curry because of how he's been shooting, and the Raptors have been like begging for a big, or at least a center who could hit threes. And Chris Boucher can do it sometimes, but also he's just not, you know, necessarily girthy enough to be in all matchups. But Presh Tachua has a bit more to him, and you know, since the All-Star break, he's hitting 40% of his threes, and actually in 2022. he's hitting 37% of his threes. So this has been going on for a little while. I mean, yes, you know, post All-Star break, that's when things really ramped up a little bit, but he's been doing it all of 2022. And his growth has been really incredible. I think every person on a Raptors podcast, probably you have on the multiple podcasts you're on, have talked about how good Precious Achiuwa has been. But I guess my question to you is, what do you think is the next step for him? And like, do you think this is who he is now? Is he this, you know, pick and pop big kind of type, at least with when it comes to catch and shoot threes?
I don't think we really know. Like, I stand by what I said at the beginning of the season, which is I think Precious Achiuwa is a pretty complete player. He looked that way. There were some blips here and there, you know, in the middle of this season when it seemed like he was just sort of sorting through the toolbox of the skills he has and figuring out what to deploy when, which like that is its own skill, especially in young players, right? Learning when to wait, learning when to force something, learning when to just like give the ball away or take the shot. It was tough for him because I don't think he'd ever been asked to make those decisions in Miami whatsoever. So you're coming into a roster that really values decision-making, right? From all its players, not just from the primary ball handler. So I think he had that to contend with. I think I was talking to Sean Woodley this morning on Locked On about this, and
great podcast, great guy.
Yeah. Great pod, great guy. But we were talking about comps. You know, people seem really eager to make a comp between Precious and Pascal Siakam in terms of where Siakam was at in his second season. And I would caution, don't make comps, period. And certainly, like, don't make comps between those two players. They're very different. Pascal Siakam's development is like, we don't want to talk about fluke, like good flukes and like kind of freak things. It's an anomaly in the NBA. In the NBA's entirety, you know, for someone to get where he has with like hardly any experience prior. Pascal Siakam is a unicorn in that sense, but I think Precious Achiuwa, as I said, pretty complete, needs to work on some things and kind of hone in on where he'll be. I don't think sometimes this season, the decision-making around roster spots has probably not aided him in figuring that out quickly. He's had to stay a little bit more like loose and kind of waiting.
What you talking about?
Yeah. But I still have really high hopes for Precious. I don't think he's shown anything other than gradual improvement throughout the season, which to me is like a better stamp than just like, you know, a couple flare-ups here and there and then, you know, what do you have to show for it? Like, you want that gradual improvement. It's his second season in the NBA. His first as like an actual player, right? Like a integral player as part of a, like a fairly complete NBA team. So it might as well have been his first season in a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to see what he does next year. Don't give him the nickname.
Fresh Curry.
No. Again, you are setting yourself up for a wild disappointment when like he has an off game. That's the thing. That's what I can't handle is like these expectations set game to game. And then like, it all goes out the window. If someone has an off game, that's not how it should work.
Stat Muse would be all over that. If he had a bad game or he had a bad stretch or something like that.
Yeah. I can already see this stupid graphic. I can already see it.
Yeah, I know. Lindsay Dunn did a nice piece on Thad Young.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
In that piece, he talked about, you know, his mentorship role with the Toronto Raptors and how that was one of the reasons why he was brought in. And Chris Boucher, Precious Achiuwa also, those players talked about the impact that he has had. And Precious, for one, there's a quote for him saying that, you know, I think of myself as like, I like to just watch and kind of see and watch how players, you know, go about their business and operate. And then afterwards, I'm going to, you know, take them aside and ask them some questions. And Thad Young, he seems like one of the nicest people in the world. So I'm sure they have a really good relationship with each other. But I like that about Precious is that he's so eager to get better. And, you know, the growth from that we've seen from day one to now as a Toronto Raptor, I guess in some ways, like it shouldn't be that surprising because he's so devoted to improving himself. And, you know, the shots in game, the decision-making, yeah, it's been up and down. And I've criticized him. Other people have too, that sometimes he's got to like reel back a little bit. But to some degree, you know, him going through these reps and getting this time with the Raptors has been really, really helpful for him. I would just like to see him kind of master a few things because like you said, he is so good at so many things now. It's like, what do I get better at? But like this offseason, if I was Nick Nurse or if I was a Raptors staff member, I'd be like, look, I want to see you, you know, master your relocation when it comes to your catch and shoot threes, you're finding those positive passing angles for your teammates. And, you know, people are closing down on him and he's got to take one dribble and hit a shot, you know, continue to get better at driving to the rim and, you know, kind of work with Fred VanVleet to become like a true pick and roll combination because Fred needs that. Everyone needs that, right? It's such an easy way to get buckets. And, you know, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka had one of the best combinations that we've seen. And I guess with the Toronto Raptors, I mean, so continue to hone in on that, become a person who can use a bit more of a pick and pop big, who can hit a bit of a mid-range shot, but also can drive to the rim, continue to hone in on improving your percentages around the rim, because it's sometimes a little bit wonky. Sometimes, you know, the pressure and the contact that gets built in down there, it can be tougher to finish. And he's still working through that. He's still very young. So those are things that I like to see him do, but I mean, his toughness, I love his toughness. Nick Nurse said the other day that, you know, Precious told him a few months ago that I want to guard the hardest player on the other team. I want to be that guy. And he's been doing it the past few games, actually. And I expect that's going to continue too, because it's just going to make, you know, things a little bit easier on Pascal and Scotty, and they're going to be needed for offense, which we're going to get to in a second, but love Precious, love his growth. Don't think he's going anywhere. Probably is going to be the starting center next season if they don't make a bigger move, which is a whole nother thing they got to figure out. But it seems like they really found something with Precious. And all those people were like, oh, we didn't get anything for the Kyle Lowry trade. Well, there you go. Got Precious Achiuwa, your starting center of the future. 13-7 since the All-Star break, 40% from three.
I think it's really positive how much he kind of relishes having a vet around too. Like we saw him do that earlier in the season with Kem well, in terms of just like asking how to improve. And as you said, like his latest comments just about watching Thad, because I think Precious has gotten a pretty bad rap for like being a selfish player, right, at times. And I think, again, some of that just comes down to poor decision-making because he doesn't have the experience decision-making. And I haven't actually seen him. I was going to say, I haven't seen him make the same mistake twice. That's not true, but maybe I haven't seen him make it three times, you know, like he's kind of, he's learned those lessons. And I think like young players, like vets are really important. We all know that, but I think young players that actually relish and take the opportunities to approach vets versus like having to have the vet kind of come to them. That's like a really, I don't know. I think that's like very telling of his character as a person and as a player.
Pivoting to the ideal world where the Raptors are actually healthy, that would be really fun. So let's, there are a few things that I wanted to ask you about in the event that does happen, especially leading into the playoffs. Nick Nurse said today, actually, in practice, that, you know, if the playoffs start today, I think we're ready. What a quote. I think we're good to go. Assuming that, you know, they're obviously healthy, which they're not right now. But in the end, if the Raptors were healthy and things go back to the way they were with their starting lineup, and I guess they got to figure out their bench and what's going to be happening there with Precious's emergence and, you know, Brooks and yada, yada, yada. But Scotty Barnes in the month of March is shooting 16 shots a game. Meanwhile, his, you know, his averages for the season, especially in 2022, or at least in January and February, are around 10 to 12. Obviously that happened because the Raptors were injured. And, but it seems like at the same time, they kind of found something to a degree, right? That they found that, you know, Scotty probably was, maybe they already knew this. I'm sure they probably did. He was ready for a bigger and more expansive offensive role. And he's kind of ran with that a little bit. So when they do get healthy and they have their starting lineup as is the good old days, do you think he should still stick around 16 shots per game? Because it's a big jump, 10 to 12 from to 16. That's pretty, it's a lot.
One, I will say to Nick Nurse's comments, you at some point you're just like, yeah, I'm ready as I'll ever be. Like, it's kind of like, it is like that in life as it is in basketball, right? There's not that much more you can do to prepare for the postseason. They're as close to it now as they've ever been. So kind of looking at it in very short sight and being like, yeah, we're ready. Cause like, honestly, other than health, I don't know what else. If you haven't fixed it or addressed it or changed something by now, it's not really going to happen in 10 games. Yes. It's just not. So I agree with him. They look good. In terms of Scotty Barnes, this is really funny to me because the last time I was on, we were talking about this. I think the question was like, he doesn't have enough. This isn't you. This isn't an impression.
You could do one though. You could do an impression of me if you want. Please do.
No, I won't. The question is just whether or not he had enough offensive responsibility and should he have more, leaning towards he should have more. I thought he did have plenty. Yes. And I think now where he stepped into this again, yeah, it's due to injuries and, you know, needing somebody to take those shots. The fact that he wants to and can and is making those shots, what a bonus. Mm-hmm. Again, my stance with Scotty Barnes, he can do as little or as much as he wants this season. You know, it's all like folding into the broader range of experience and like how his game is being built out right before our eyes, you know, like to an accelerated degree that I don't really think anybody anticipated for him to be where he's at this season, like clear rookie of the year contender. I'd say probably, I mean, Mobley's a star, but like, in terms of, and I'm incredibly biased, but like in terms of sheer versatility, you know, like the scopiness of Scotty Barnes, it's a no-brainer to me. But I think, if he wants to take those shots, let him. But maybe they don't want him. Maybe they don't want him to be doing that. But again, like whatever, it's a very like, it's just like a real happy-go-lucky take. But that's my take. It's just like whatever Scotty wants to be doing, and whatever. Yeah. He seems like happiest doing offensively. Let him do it.
Just be you, Scotty. It's your party. Just, and you can cry if you want to.
Yeah.
That song. Yeah. Anyone knows that song?
I don't know. He like got back. I will say like, he looks so good on that West Coast leg, you know, and like that those are against like some of the most established players and teams in the league. And he looks so secure and confident and just, you know, more of what we've been seeing, but I think on a different, like a completely different stage and a good like barometer for himself too. Like what a good test. So yeah, man, Scotty.
Scotty Barnes, good old Scotty Barnes. The reason why this kind of came up is that I've seen over the past few games, this is again, because of, you know, the Raptors needing offense and just having a lot of injuries, but his game has expanded more to a little bit more of the mid range and 3-point shooting. And I mean, that's fine. It's going to be something that I'm sure he's going to develop, you know, over the off season and yada, yada, yada. But to me, I mean, if they're healthy, and that's kind of that's what we're talking about in that ideal world that the Raptors are healthy. Scotty Barnes is probably maybe your best post-up player, right? Because Pascal's great and everything like that, but Scotty just has this ability to do it against anyone, against any of any size, that he has it. Like, he's just that guy. And I feel like he is now an asset in that area. And when we talk about playoff offense, it's so much about just like mismatches and how can our mismatches be your mismatches? Who's going to be better at exposing the mismatches? And I think Scotty Barnes, you just have this weapon that is going to be so useful. And again, with the Raptors, Fred VanVleet, you know, kind of laboring They're going to be looking for ways to create offense, and hopefully OG Anunoby comes back and he's able to take on more of that offensive role. But Doc Rivers said it the other day. He's like, hey, when you're facing the Raptors, like, chances are there's going to be a mismatch somewhere, and they're going to find it because they know there's a mismatch somewhere, and they're going to expose it. And I think Scotty Barnes, like, usually he is a person who has a mismatch. So I want to see him continue to get those reps as a post-up player because he is deadly down there. And, you know, on hook shots this year, he's shooting 53%. On jump shots, 37%. There it is. He's very good down low, and he's just getting better at it. And he's such a good passer already. I just think it kind of simplifies the game a little bit, especially going down the stretch of the season when you have bodies coming in and out, that just throw it down to Scotty and let's try to make things happen. Yes, against the Bulls. I mean, they game plan for that. And they said, I want to see other guys hit shots and hopefully they get healthy. And those are the things that are going to be able to happen. But at the moment, I just want to see Scotty get more run, more opportunity, because I think he's an easy method to get good shots in your offense. And I just want to see him as rookie of the year. I don't know. It depends how they look at it, right? It depends on the criteria. If you're going to take the player that's most versatile, then, you know, probably Scotty Barnes. If you're going to look at, hey, you've got Evan Mobley, who's a big that has become an NBA big, something that a lot of players take like 2 to 3 years to do, four maybe. He's doing it in his first year. Oh, and he's also putting up like 22 and 12 and 25 and 17 now that Jared Allen's out. And he just seems to be his own kind of special. So there isn't a bad choice between those two. I guess Cade Cunningham obviously factors into this, but I think that because Evan and Scotty are contributing to teams that are winning, I think that does kind of put them into a different tier to me, at least, although Cade's incredible. So we'll see what happens there, but three very good candidates, I must say. Okay. Clutch time, Katie.
All right.
Clutch time All for right. the Toronto Raptors. Who do you think, or do you think, we should kind of start leaning towards, I know what I just said about Scotty Barnes, but do you think Pascal should be getting more of an opportunity to be the crunch time guy, considering what we've seen over the past little while, how he manhandled Tobias Hansey Harris, might I say, because of the way he was just like poking at Pascal down the stretch of the game. But his decision-making is incredible, right? He's doing it every game, and he's been a big reason why they had such a successful road trip. So do you think we should start edging towards being given Pascal the ball, or in cases where there's no obvious mismatch on the court, like a Boston Celtics, for instance, do you kind of say, okay, let's just give the ball to Pascal and let's try and get a good shot?
Yeah. I mean, I think his decision-making has shown, like, in crunch time, he can be and like has been that guy. I feel like this is already happening a little bit. So maybe that's why I don't know that, like, what the, I guess, sure, because I can't think again, it feels like this is already happening. This is kind of naturally the course of things. As you said, when there's no obvious mismatches to be had on the floor. I did like seeing him go up against Tobias Harris in that way, because I think a Pascal Siakam of the past, who sometimes waited for calls or perhaps looked for calls, just playing through contact, you know, and like playing through discomfort, it's like a really big step, I think, for him. And I think a step for him as a star. And what I mean by that is, like, a lot of stars do not play through contact because they don't have to, right? They kind of learn the necessity. They don't need to. That's changed a bit with the rules this season. And I don't really believe when Luka Doncic says he's going to not yell at the refs anymore, because those old habits die hard. But he's a good example of that, right? And I think I was always a bit wary because I didn't want Pascal to fall into that category. Of course, I wanted him to be a star, but I didn't necessarily want all the negative trappings that come with it, because they can be pretty detrimental to someone's game. So I think, like, the way he's playing now, it's really, like, again, it's the confidence that we've seen all season, a real sense of himself on the floor, and like where he is kind of at all times, where his teammates are at all times. Of a really, like, level-headedness. I think that's, like, a nice new thing to see from him as well. I think he's shouldering the responsibility, what we're talking about in crunch time, but also just, like, again, shouldering the responsibility, Fred being in and out of the lineup, as kind of being that role model, that leader on the floor. So while I would hope he doesn't have to be that guy in crunch time, because he's being that guy for the majority of most games, it would be nice for him to take a break. Sure.
I'm leaning towards this because I feel like he's just got a big rhythm with his game now that is kind of putting him into a different tier. I talked about this on a video that I put on YouTube recently. It says how he's so composed when it comes to double teams and how he's even scoring mm-hmm. through them nowadays because of how experienced he is and how much he's seen over the past few seasons. He's seen every defense possible. And now you add in his mid-range game and he just has so much more versatility and tools in his basket to create offense. And so in a person like Gary Trent Jr., he's fourth most, he has fourth most points in crunch time during the all since the All-Star break. So he, I think, was like a benefactor of Pascal's mm-hmm. gravity. So we're talking about how can you attract the defense? How can you expose mismatches? How can you make things happen? And Gary Trent Jr. as an off-ball shooter, that sounds pretty good to me. That's what you want. That's why you have him there. Right. And same with Fred VanVleet. So you just need guys who can, you know, create mismatches and make teams have to make really tough decisions. And then they got to kind of bank on, okay, well, is this guy going to make a shot from the 3-point line? We have to just see what happens. And we just keep on edging towards that because the Raptors are so deadly in the down low. They have so many players that are a problem for teams. And so they're saying, all right, well, let's see if this guy can hit a three. And those guys got to hit threes. My goodness, they got to hit threes. This kind of goes to a bit of what I just said, but the bench now, with all those guys coming off the bench, a lot of players have been in and out. You got Thad Young now, you got Precious emerging, you got Brooks as well. How do you see, like, is there a person that you feel like is not going to be getting as many minutes down the stretch here if the Raptors are indeed healthy? And, you know, Malachi Flynn factors into this too, but Delano Banton seems like he's kind of out of the rotation. Yeah, how do you feel like the Raptors should prioritize their bench minutes?
I mean, we already touched on two. I think, but like Svi, yeah. Utah, I think Malachi, unfortunately, are going to feel the squeeze. Delano, I think, again, they're looking at as more of a long-term prospect. Like if he doesn't really make it into the, if he doesn't crack a rotation with the Raptors, he's making up for it with the 905. So that really worries me less. I think he has a fairly secure place and they do have a secure sense of what they want from him long-term. It's less clear to me what they want out of those other three players. You know, we've talked about Malachi at length. It's kind of weird to me that there still isn't a clear sense of where he fits and maybe how to get him there that we're seeing. Like that's the caveat to all of this, right? Is what we're seeing and being told. But again, like Svi's been a bit of a ghost. I know I said it earlier, but I always come back to actually something you said just in terms of like Utah's defensive capabilities. Like if you're not getting something from him at one end of the floor, why not just ask for it at the other? To me, that makes sense. I don't think you're forfeiting that much like offense in the process. Cause he's shown he can like, he can still get through guys to make the shot if he's pressed. So this is a difficult thing that my sense of it is the Raptors have been waiting out the season because of all the injuries, because they haven't really had consistent rosters because of that and had a sense of like where all these guys fit to make this decision. Cause again, this is a development year. We say this every episode, but this is a development year. You have the luxury of time in making these decisions. So I do think while they're taking that time, time's almost up.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. The alarm clock is almost going.
That brutal, brutal buzzer or chime, whatever weird thing you've got set for your alarm. It's almost up.
What do you have?
I have different, different ones. I have the least like the violent one to me is like, it sounds like a country. It's like, din, 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 din. That didn't sound right. What's it called? I don't know the name of it. I can't get to my settings really quick, but it's like,
it's okay.
It's not a type of beep or a buzz or a chime. That stuff stresses me out.
I got a song myself. You got
a little song.
Yeah.
It's like the guitar. It's the little guitar song.
I got Bob Marley. Don't worry.
I have that's like the generic Apple settings guitar song, but I did what you did for a while, but then I started to hate those songs. It messed with my psyche.
You know what? I've heard people do that. They felt like
you wake
song,
up to it.
Hate the song. Yeah. I'm not there yet, but I understand that perspective. people close to me have talked to me about that, and it hasn't hit me yet, but my eyes and ears are alert to the possibility that could very well happen. In the end, I think the Raptors, they just have to like kind of focus on their core values as a team, right? And so they want offensive rebound. They want to get up and down the floor really fast, and mm-hmm. they need shooting, right? And so I think the decisions are going to kind of come down to those ones. Obviously, the other matchup of the team you're facing. But overall, I think some of the players who are getting kind of inconsistent minutes are going to have to sort of deal with that. And then once, as Nick Nurse says, you could play 10 minutes, you could play 2 seconds, you could end up starting. You have to be mm-hmm. ready to go. Very tough mm-hmm. thing to do, to ask of players to be ready to go on a moment's notice when they haven't played in like 4 or 5 days. And, oh, well, now you need to get into this playoff game because, you know, so-and-so has 5 fouls or something like that. Very tough, but people like, I see a way, you know, that why Thad might play a lot. I see why Precious is going to play a lot. I can see why Malachi Flynn mm-hmm. plays a lot because, you know, Fred's not himself. And so, you know, Malachi is an actual point guard. He's probably their only true point guard that they have, although they're playing with dabbling a little bit with Pascal as point guard too, but he is like a person that they can actually give the ball to, and he's going to be somewhat reliable. So there is an alley for all these guys to get minutes, but who's going to get it? It's really going to come down to the situation. But a person like Brooks, I could see that him just getting those 15 minutes because they just need the shooting that desperately. But you know, a team against the Celtics, like the Celtics, if the Raptors, hopefully not ever again in the playoffs, if they match up against them, like, well, then, you know, he's probably too small. So now you got to put Thad out there, and you're just banking that, hey, please, Thad, hit 2 corner 3s for us because we just need you to hit those. It's going to be a really interesting thing that Nick has to figure out. But obviously the first step is that he has to get a healthy team. Speaking of Nick Nurse, what are your goals for Nick Nurse in the final 10 games of the season?
My goals for Nick Nurse.
Yeah. What do you want to see Nick kind of focus on in these last 10 or? What do you think?
Utilizing some of those bench players, maybe the last bench pieces. Oh, I don't want to call them pieces. The last bench guys that we've mentioned, right? You've got gaps. Yeah, you want an offensive rebound? Yuta Watanabe, great. Seems like a great player to fit that role if you need someone late game to do that. No, but honestly, I think to sort out the help that you're going to need in the postseason, you know, and in a kind uh-huh. of like game for game matchup situation, like the playoffs turn into, you won't necessarily be able to rely on throwing out the same things every game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd like to see more clarity in terms of what the bench is, what he wants it to be, what the goals are, I think, for those players, because this is again, like a team that talks about, making sure guys' careers are vital or like revitalized in some cases. So if you're not going to sign these guys, where like you want to still set them up for success, right? And like send them out into the wider NBA world, looking to get good deals. You're not really doing that for those guys right now that we mentioned. What else? Honestly, I'm low on criticisms for Nick Nurse at this point because I feel like, mm-hmm. he's done pretty well. I mean, he has a team to thank for that, but like he's done pretty well. He can't you can't criticize him for injuries, you know, for some of the roster shortages. I think for some of the poor decision making, I'm sure he's like tearing mm-hmm. his hair out the same as the rest of us are with that, but I think I've got to believe he meant it, right? When he's just like, we're ready for the postseason. I think that's probably where his brain is. It's like a lot of stuff that's clicking is going to click and stay that way. And we can't really like turn into a new team right now. So this is what we got.
I mean, this wasn't meant to be like a question where we're going to be criticizing Nick, because like you said, he's gone through it this season in his own way. You know, it's been a very tough year with all the injuries and up and down, and this guy's mm-hmm. playing, this guy's getting traded, yada, yada, yada. It's been really tough. The only thing I had for myself too is that just consistency with the rotation, but he needs bodies to get consistent with mm-hmm. that at the same time. So prioritizing floor spacing, I think, is something that has stuck out to me. That could be where, you know, when you got to make a decision in like that second quarter, it's like, all right, who's going to play the last like 5 minutes here? You're going to go with the floor spacer. You're going to go with another 6'9" guy. I wouldn't mind if in some of those cases where the matchups make sense that you put out, you know, a Brooks or a Malachi when he is healthy, because they just need spacing. It's like, it's, they're so desperate. And then you can run some of those empty corner actions and some of those spread pick and rolls where you can let Scotty and Pascal and OG just do some work, you know, simplify your offense as best you can and you utilize your assets. But I think he wants to do that stuff. It's just guys got to hit shots. And they got to hit shots tomorrow against the Cleveland Cavaliers as well, because that's a huge, huge game. Other thing is, you know, I think he's got to make sure that they beat those teams below 500 because it's getting insane. And maybe he's got to make like a mixtape or something like that. They play this mixtape of all the times that they've lost to all these Pistons and Magics and all that kind of stuff. You have the sound up saying, oh my God, I can't believe the Toronto Raptors lost to this team after they just beat the Milwaukee Bucks. How is this team?
Whose voice is that?
Huh? I don't know. Herbie King. Kirby can do it, right? He would never do it though.
No, he wouldn't.
On that SOT. Yeah, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do the voice for him. Yeah, just get like, it would be so annoying if they beat the Cavaliers and all of a sudden they lose to the Atlanta Hawks, like a team that isn't making the playoffs, or the Orlando Magic. Like, don't lose to these teams, please. You guys are playing at home. Eight more home games. Two on the road. Like, this is take care of business time. Only one back-to-back. Like, you can't have any of these. But again, if they are healthy, I don't think these things will happen. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. And for the game against Kyle Lowry, I want to see Nick Nurse throw every single defense he's ever come up with in his brain at Kyle Lowry, just to see how Kyle handles it. And in that case, the Raptor fan base, we're going to win either way. Kyle's going to figure it out. And we're going to be like, my God, Kyle Lowry, guys, this guy is incredible. This is the point guard. He is, you know, Kyle Lowry over everything, yada, yada, yada. Or Kyle isn't able to do that, and the Raptors win. It's a win-win for the Raptor fan base. That's what I'm looking for. We need more win-win situations. So that's all I really had, actually. And also just, you know, getting some rest for Pascal and Fred because they need it, but they also got to make sure that they're in a position to get rest. You know, that's it. That was more of a joking one more than I think. Finally, Katie, and again, thank you for your time. Bill alluded to that Raptors-Cavs game. It is tomorrow. Huge game, pretty much is going to tell us if the Raptors have a chance of that top six. What are some of the things that you're watching for against in that matchup?
Yeah, probably not for them to get overpowered really quickly. You know what I mean? The Cavs will have a lot of kind of answered. We saw the Cavs do this. When was that game? In the fall? When it seemed like the Raptors had the Cavs and the Cavs just kind of waited them out, right? The Jared Allen, the Jared Allen when he got flipped. And like thrown windmills, like that. Game. They just waited the Raptors out. And I think the Cavs are a much different team now than they were then. You know, they have a much better sense of their depth. I think they have a much better sense of just like the offenses they can deploy and the way that they can counter, especially a team like the Raptors. Like, they have the size for it. So I think it's going to come down to spacing, probably. Good decision making, not getting like chased off, you know, like chased off anywhere. That's gonna be it's gonna be tough. That'll be a very physical game. I don't even like mean it'll be, it's gonna get chippy. It's just, it will be tough for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Darius Garland, he had 17 and 10 the last time they played. And so he's been a problem. He's like past two games, 29 and 17, 24 and 12, 25 and 14. He's been on a tear. Fred did not play in that game. So again, we're going to get back to the Fred VanVleet question. What kind of Fred are we going to get? But I will point this out. Since January 30th, Darius Garland has scored at least 20 points in every single game except one. Guess who that game was against, Katie?
The Raptors.
The Raptors, right? Yeah. It was the Toronto Raptors. Granted, he had 17 and 10, but that does mean something that, you know, they're going to be on the road in this case, right? So Lauri Markkanen, is he going to shoot as well? Some of their guys off the bench, are they going to play as well? And then on the other side, the Raptors bench has to be a lot better because that last matchup, Precious Achiuwa was a minus 28 and Thad Young was a minus 17. And Scotty and Pascal, like, they were like a minus one. So you can kind of see where things kind of went wrong for the Toronto Raptors in that way because they forced 17 turnovers, right? They did that part of the game, and maybe we get one more player back. Who knows, right? But it seems like Pascal and Scotty, they had success against the Cavaliers in that last matchup, and they just need to continue to do that. And also, as you said, shooting. they need guys to hit shots. And maybe Fred too. Maybe he just gets that home cooking. You know, he gets his bed. He's going to be comfortable, all that kind of stuff. And his knee feels good. And he's able to kind of get, figure out his three-point shot, because he's not even like able to hit the rim sometimes, it seems like, because it seems like it just doesn't have like the lift that he necessarily needs.
I trust it'll come back. You know what I mean? Like, he's had these, aside from like even injuries, like he's had these shooting slumps in the past. And he's always managed to figure it out. And the best thing about it is like his general attitude and demeanor does not change, right? Like it could bother him. It doesn't ever seem to bother him whether he gets a shot or doesn't get the shot. It's just kind of like on to the next shot mentality, which is good. That's like the way Fred VanVleet plays. So it's fine. But I think, this Cavs team, they're very cohesive team. So if the Raptors start rushing, like if it looks like they are playing downhill, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah. You had a nice little cliffhanger at the beginning of the episode, so I'm going to end it with a nice one here. So Katie Heindel, thank you so much for your time. And the Toronto Raptors have a huge game coming up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Will they win? Find out next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.